Dishesha, James Tupac. My name is James Ola Tupac. Eskimo from Kubuk. I was born on Kubuk. So what I know a little bit about this country ever since I get to be about 12 years old, I noticed things. Even before that, I know a lot of things, but I don't remember very well. My memory was not very good because I was knocked by log when my father was building log cabin at the farm, and the boys hoisting logs from the raft. And one of the lines was not inspected, and it worn out a little bit. It was long line, sheet logs. They were heavy. I was hooked them on the lines when the boys were hoisting up on the bank, high bank, and one of them slipped down an oil log, peel log. With the tallow, my father rubbed tallow on it so it is like easy. So, my memory, ever since that time, my memory is cut out. I don't have much. But the nurse in there from Philadelphia, at the missionaries, nurse told me that I don't have to worry. He says, whatever I got on me, she says, is good enough for me. She says, you don't have to know too much anyway. But you never will remember names. But that won't bother much. Even if you don't remember names, you should get along all right, she says. I says, okay. I try to remember anyway, a little bit. My memory was poor since. But I get lots of news from my parents and my uncles while they were alive. Muslims and aunts, mamas, all died with fish poison on Kubuk River. Shortly I will move to Kaikuk River. So that time my grandfather was snowshoe maker. He made snowshoes for NC Company. And NC Company sell them to prospectors. There were thousands of people around Alatna and thousands of them at Wiseman, Goldfoot, Hammond River, Norland Creek, Sled Creek, all mining camps, Porcupine, Muscat, upon Kaikuk. And I'd been born early enough to see them white people come to country, early people from California, mostly from California. And San Francisco is that time ship port years ago. I was born in 1895. I should born about 1870, then I would know better. Too late. I born a little bit late to find what's going on then. The people was pretty thick when I was around 11 years old, 8 years old. Lots of steamboats. I seen big company from McKenzie up to Porcupine and Fort Yukon. they were trading that way. That's how we get our knives and axes, planes, saws, handsaws, and things like that from Hudson Bay Company by the Canada Way. But these white people that populate the country was not traders. They're prospectors. They like to buy too. They like to buy anything they can find. Snowshoes, moose meat, caribou meat, fish, berries, cranberries, blueberries, everything. They sort of food, I think. A lot of them, my grandfather says, a lot of them go hungry because no potatoes and no cabbage, nothing grew. They didn't grow anything, they didn't have time. They just get around out in the country and live whatever they can find. Live on whatever they can find. Ducks in the summer and fish, and in the winter, moose. Whatever meat they can find, sheep, even porcupine was their food. Porcupine was thick in this country. Eskimo not allowed to kill it unless you're hungry, because he's helpless. He don't run fast. He don't run away. You can just kill him with a stick and eat him. That's the reason they cleaned the porcupine. And the beaver in the lakes, the beaver skin was good to mend, otter and things like that. They buy them for Russia. Any white man come, they buy them fast. They pay 2.5 for skin, whatever they can find. Perhaps some $2.50 for beaver skin. I don't know what the Russian get for it, but they buy plenty.
James, you said that you trade a lot of things with people in those days. When did you start trading?
My people were traders. Even Uli and Arik, Eric from Aklavik, come over by the way, Porcupine, to Fort Yukon, then come over to Koyukuk. They live at the North Fork of Koyukuk River, North Fork. That's where they live most of the time. And they live here. They make arrows in here with a piece of flint. And they were traders before they come in around about 600 years ago when they come over from Arctic. They come from Greenland. They come gradually, slowly, but they make it because somehow or another they were trading all the time. And the Indians like traders. Otherwise, they would have killed them all. They didn't kill many of them. So some of them survived. Uli and Eric. Eric is the one that lived on Koyukuk River. And Uli went to Chilliwack. And they got big families. And they were trading all the time. And the Chilliwack people, rich people, they were a long time ago rich, thousands of years ago. There were some rich people in there, their ancestors do the same thing. They always was trading. I live here since 1900. 1900, I don't know much that time. But my parents and my grandparents moved to Koyukuk River, so that they can make better living. make snowshoes and things like that. My father was trading with Indians. He got his stuff from Kupak and Siberia, winter skins and things like that. So we lived mostly on rabbits and ptarmigan sometime, whenever they come. And fish, there's lots of fish. All the time my parents and my grandparents fishing. That's how we raised up. There were no caribou, no moose, no bear, nothing in the country.
What kind of fish did they catch?
Salmon. There's king salmon, dog salmon, and some of them, what they call red salmon, it is. Something like trout. Maybe they're salmon trout. They're fat. And then there's a white fish. We call them ori. They got they weigh about 8 pounds, 10 pounds, 8 to 10 pounds. And there's a herring, freshwater herring. And there's a humpback. And there's a lush, and I don't know much about the name of the fish, but we got large and small fishes. We live on them things. When you catch them in time, in the summertime, you use a drag net. Sometime my father built a winter trap for lush. You know what lush is?
It's a white fish, isn't it?
No, it's a black fish. Something, they're about that long. Some of them get to be 6 feet.
Wow, 3 to 6 feet long.
Yeah, big one. And almost weigh as much as men. Hardly go through. One time, my father got a fish net like this. He's stuck in there. In here, and can't come out. So we could go into fish trap.
The trap itself was about 2 feet wide?
Yeah, something like that. He can't go through it. He got stuck in there, died in there. So he took it out. That's the biggest one he ever catch. And he didn't have no scale, I guess, at the place. And he left it in there among the others. And wolves chewed it up, and he don't weigh it. He don't know how much it weighs. It's the biggest fish he ever catch in the fish trap in wintertime. That was below Alatna, about 2 miles, perhaps 2 miles below Mount Alatna River. That's where his fish trap was.
Were you there with him?
Yes, that's where we lived. We was small yet, you know, and too small to travel. That's why they stayed. Until we a little bit bigger. When we get bigger, we travel up to mining camps, and my dad worked in the summertime in mining camp. Sometimes he hunt sheep for them when they get real hungry, you know. They live on canned stuff all the time. They live on canned stuff very well.
Did you do anything in the mining camps?
I was too small that time. And the country was cleaned out because too many people. They cleaned the caribou out. There was no caribou in the country when I was raised up until I was around 22 years old. I see a bunch of caribou, first time in my life.
Where did you see those caribou?
Weissman.
You were 22 years old?
Yeah.
That would have been around 1915 then?
Around that, yes. Yeah, a few caribou came. So we have caribou meat. Then shortly afterward, they keep coming every year, little by little. So we have caribou meat. And we live on practically straight on fish. Fish is good to eat, but you can't live on the fish and berries all the time. You got to have some meat. So my dad killed blackberries sometimes in the summertime. They didn't clean the blackberries because most of the time blackberries are hard to get. And prospectors don't kill them off, or they run way back in the woods on the mountain. They save their life that way. That's why we got some blackberry meat once in a while. And my dad was trading, but then we got seal oil and blubber, whale meat sometimes, muktuk from Kubuk. And that helped out. We cannot live without the ocean seal meat and whale meat, all that ocean stuff. We can't live without it. My dad trapped in the winter, and my grandfather sometimes trapped too. And whatever my grandfather catch, of course, my dad buy him right away. And most of this fur, my dad trade from Indians, was shipped a lot of times, summertime, over to Siberia. Sometimes his uncle got both too, Sinegok, his uncle, my father's uncle, got both too. Sometimes go over to Siberia and sell everything he can take along with him to Siberia and get the stuff from Siberia. They bought these winter skins for parkish and things, seal skins, tan, and wolverine skin from Siberia. Alaska crazy for Siberian wolverine because they got so much longer hair on wolverine than Alaskan wolverine. Well, Alaskan wolverine was dark, and Siberian got a big white thing behind his back, about 4 inches white, just looked like horseshoe, and all white, beautiful. And the Alaska people crazy for it. That's why my dad get along fine in trading. Good demand for that kind of wolverine. He bought this from Siberia and sell them to Indians. They want Siberian fur. They don't want Alaska fur.
What did they use the wolverine fur from Siberia for? What did the Indians hear?
Rough on the parkies and tassels hanging all around here for parkies.
From their shoulders.
From here.
And their neck.
Beautiful, yes. Kind of a red, yellowish color. Beautiful in here. We don't see those clothes nowadays. They don't make them anymore. Cost too much. And they could make it if they tried to, all right. But they use this for something else. And they get really warm jackets and don't need them kind of clothes anymore up here. So my dad was buying these wolverines from Alaska. He bought lots of them. And then ship them over to Siberia. That's how my dad made a living. Good demand for wolverine and reindeer skin. And mukluks already made sometimes. And some to be made. My mother worked all the time. make coffees and things, and sell them to Indians. $60 for a woman party, fancy one. Fancy works on them. And good for Shapira and Wolverine Ruff. And they sell $60 for party. Big money right there. $60 is big money at that time.
What, when was this?
1915.
So you were about 15 years old?
Something like that, yeah. My dad was still trading. Because I remember his warehouse is chock full of oil. About this big, I guess. Chock full.
About 15 feet square.
Yeah, something like that, yeah. Cash. All full with those things.
Was this on the Kayakuk River?
Yeah. You see, NC was not here yet. When NC company come, he quit trading. And meantime, we wrestle. In the summertime, we help Mama to pick berries. And then we do everything to help keep alive so we don't starve. We pick this mushu, they call it mushu, in the summer. Big sacks full. Fill up, I don't know how much we have, large of it. All the berries we can pick. We don't hardly sleep. Get up early in the morning, pick all berries. Help my mother pick berries. My dad was up working in the mines. Sometimes my mother's fishing all alone with my aunt, Rosie. My father's sister. And then, but on there, you know, that the missionaries came in 1907. They built a Latin church down there that helps the natives in that part of the country. Indians, poor people. They're not extravagant. They live on whatever they can get. They rush it all summer, just like mouse, gather all his food for winter. Anything he can get. Fish, dried up, hardly sleep, keep the flies away and cut the fish, hang it up. No sleep much. Put the smudge out there. That's part of our job too. Ever since I was a little boy, I worked very hard to get those little wood burning under the fish rack and try to get them dry clean so they don't have maggots between them. So that's the way Eskimos and Indians live that way. They got no time for recreation. They got no time for good times.
Okay.
While we was doing that, we was pretty small, but we did try to help parents pick berries and go fishing and to carry little fishes, gather them when my mother caught them. Everybody doing that. And we fish all fall. That's the way we make our living before missionaries come in. Then when missionaries come in, 1907, they help us. They even give us some shirt, real cheap. Some blueberries, one five pound large can full of blueberries. They pay big price for it. They give you some potatoes, sugar, maybe sometime a shirt, sometime pair pants, overalls, maybe socks. That way missionaries help us. Because they have to have berries too. And they have to have fish too. And that's how missionaries help.
Which missionaries were these? Were they Catholic missionaries?
That the Episcopal Church. Archdeacon Stuck, the Englishman. He come. Then later on, Bishop Rowe came. Bishop Rowe tried to help us too. He tried to do everything he can for the natives. And because no industry, no education, only way we make our living is out of the country. But there was no moose, no caribou, no big game of any kind. That's how we raise. We raise pretty poor. But somehow or another we live on seal oil and wheel oil. And these vegetables we pick in the summer. And then in the winter, sometimes we catch ptarmigan. Some year, no ptarmigan. Some year, ptarmigan. Few years after that, ptarmigan. And then we have little fish saved. And that little fish, what they catch in the summer, is a mean living. You can live on fish. You can't die, no starve, if you have fish. Even better than meat. It's easy in your stomach when you have seal oil with it. And then these berries. And then when I was around 14, 15 years old, I started to get little jobs, a little bit there and there. Then I got a job for mission. While I go to school, my dad got sick. And I quit school. I only go to school part-time because my dad can't do nothing. He probably have tuberculosis. We never knew nothing about tuberculosis them days. So we kind of think they were dying off with tuberculosis killed them all. So I got a job for missionaries. They pay me a little bit while I was smaller. When I grew bigger, when I get around to be 11 or 12, I got $500 a year. So I buy $250 that year, whatever I earned that year, $250 to help my sisters and brothers to buy grub. I give it to my dad, that $250. And I put $250 over there in the NC Company store. They keep it for me. There's no bank. We had no bank that time. Nobody had a bank anyhow. Only bank I ever have is over there in Tananoy and Army Post and Fort Yukon and Fairbanks.
What did you do at the mission to earn $500 a year?
I keep, in the summertime, I keep fires. In the wintertime, I keep fire in the school and church. And then I bring wood, whatever is cut out there, bring it to the house. And then I help to carry water from the river. It's way down there. We use a lot of water in wintertime too, you know, but the water was pretty handy. That clean water from the river. And in the summer, I give fires all around. Then in the spring, I start to keep fire in the greenhouse where they grow tomatoes and cucumbers and things like that in the greenhouse. I keep fire all night. And I got an alarm clock right there close to me and to wake me up midnight to put stick of wood in the greenhouse. You see, you have to go by that clock because it wakes me up. I wake up. I was a little boy, you know. I learned that way. If I don't do that, my stomach, no food to fill it. I've got too many sisters and too many brothers. Helpless. They're too small to work. And besides, they're not ambitious enough. We want to keep them in school as much as we can so they get better education than I have. So that happened. My brother is doing fine. I'm proud of it. We didn't lose nothing for doing hard work to reach my sisters and brothers. But accidents killed them. But that doesn't matter. We live through somehow. At least we don't starve. We're not well to do, you know, but we always have something to eat because we wrestle. We work very hard to get food. And then they raised my wages at the mission, $500 a year. I save half, I get half of it. My dad, I grew up with it, to take care of children. So my father gets better.